Thursday, December 1st, and this is Geek Nights. Tonight, we talk about Geek Nights.
Let's do this. So, I get to work this morning, and the boss has this extra LCD monitor on his desk.
Uh-huh.
And he says, some user did something I thought was impossible. He burned an image onto the screen of an LCD monitor.
Really?
Now, I'm like, wait a minute, that can't be, because the way an LCD monitor works, how can that be? That would mean that, like, the memory chip had to have the same frame stored in it, and that it had to be a memory chip that saved the state, like a flash or a hard drive, and that's not what it is.
So, was there actually an image there?
No, it wasn't an image burned into the screen, my boss just said that, but it was very broken. Very broken. You turn this thing on, the screen went white. Sheet white. And gradually, the top of it got dark, 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 and then the middle of it got dark, and then the side, and there were these colored lines. All it was broken as hell.
Wow.
So we opened it all the way and took out every piece. And I knew how LCD monitors worked before, but now I have a much, much better understanding.
You are aware that there are various carcinogens and things in there, right?
In an LCD?
Yeah, not as bad as a CRT, but you shouldn't open them.
Well, let me explain to you what's in there. First, you take off the plastic, right? And then there's the LCD screen itself. The LCD screen is maybe 1/4 millimeter thick. And it has this little circuit board attached to it. And one side of it is the side that's the actual front of your screen. And the other side of it is ultra shiny and awesome, like your screen was when you bought it. And I kind of wish that side was facing out. But anyway, and that's the screen. The rest of it is all the other stuff. It's pretty crazy. And beyond the LCD screen are these two really thin pieces of plastic. They're like kind of lens filtery things. But they're, you know, like, what are those lenses with the circles? What are they called? You know, that you use to magnify stuff on the beach and stuff?
What, you mean a magnifying glass?
No, the plastic sheets that are lenses.
Oh, Fresnel.
Fresnel. It's like one of those, only imagine if it's like, the grooves are so fine and precise, and there's just millions of them all over the place.
Uh-huh.
And then there's another one that's kind of white to keep the color straight. And then there's this piece of plastic that's like 3/4 inch thick. Just a big hunk of plastic that's the size of the screen. It's freaking huge. And all that piece of plastic does is take light in the top and send it straight out the front in an even square. The light is just these two thin sticks of light bulb that go inside this thing at the top and shoot down into the piece of plastic from the top. And that's the whole thing, except for the power supply and a very, very tiny circuit board that translates VGA into an array of LCD controlling electricity.
Uh-huh. Because I did once smash open a CRT, and there's a lot of complex, tiny machinery in there.
Yeah, an LCD is freaking simple as hell. That's why laptop, you know, they can just freaking stick them on there.
Yeah.
They're really, I mean, they're so expensive, but the expensive part is just that LCD screen because there's some stuff in it that's, like, rare or hard to get or something. But
and yields. They've gotten a lot better, but they're still not perfect.
Yeah. But, I mean, the rest of it is, like, a piece of plastic, some light bulbs, two very simple, cheap-ass circuits, and, like, some buttons. It was actually, you know, really interesting. This picture's on my Flickr, actually, of the pieces of plastic and the lenses and my coworker holding the LCD part.
Because I can tell you one thing. If you ever decide to smash open a CRT...
Bad idea.
That glass is a lot thicker than you think it is, and you're not going to break it no matter how hard you try.
Yeah. We didn't actually break the part that had the liquid crystal in it, you know.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm saying. Is you'll see the LCD is just this very, very thin thing that is just has liquid crystal in it. We didn't break it. We just took all the layers of the actual monitor out.
Uh-huh.
You know?
It's yeah, so cool. It'd be like the equivalent if I opened up a CRT and looked around as opposed to smashing it
open.
Yeah,
but imagine if a CRT wasn't a tube. It was a bunch of layers of things. You took the piece of glass off, and then you took whatever was behind the glass off, and then there was something else there.
Yep.
Yeah. It's very cool. All right. So remember that photo guy who they vigilante'd?
Yeah, apparently the guy they vigilanted gotten.
Well, the story is that, number one, that did hurt their business when they were vigilanted, which is good. Two, the reason that this whole thing started, which I wasn't 100% clear on, was the guy had been shopping for the camera. He found the good price on their website. And when he tried to order it, they didn't want to sell it to him for that price. And when he said, I demand it for that price, I won't negotiate with you, they said we're out of stock, lying that they were out of stock.
Yep.
So, you know, he got pissed, and he was fighting not with the owner of the company, but with an employee named Steve Phillips, right? The owner of the company, the president, he is the owner of Price Right Photo, Ed Lopez, emailed the guy, apologized, you know, said a bunch of, you know, I guess nice, okay things, told him that, you know, it was all, they fired Steve Phillips and everything, and, you know, it's supposedly a happy ending. The one thing, though, is that they're like, the company seems to be acting like Steve Phillips was the only one doing that BS crap, but according to, you know, people on forums who posted things about Price Right Photo long before this happened, you know, had complaints about the same thing from other people. So
yep.
Pretty
I
sure
saw
it's
a
company policy that's now gone.
They'd advertise the price, but they'd only actually sell it to you if you bought a whole bunch of overpriced accessories.
Yep.
And if you didn't buy the accessories, see, it's like Best Buy. Best Buy always has the loss leader, and then they make their money because they sell you, you know, the $30 USB cable and the monster power strip and all that randy bullshit.
Monster cables
crap.
Don't make it sound any better than cheap-ass Radio Shack cables. They will make it so that you have to use less amplification to get the same volume.
Unless
but it's
you're using
such
a digital.
A minuscule amount.
If you're using digital, you can use a 5-cent cable.
Yep.
It doesn't matter. It's bits. But at least with Best Buy, they can't refuse to sell you the loss leader by itself. They can try to make you not want to go into your store by making the store unpleasant to people with a brain, but they can't really kick you out. Unless
they're doing a real good job of making the store unpleasant to people with brains.
Except for the fact that we still shop there fairly often.
Yeah, I don't shop there so well. I go there to look, buying rarely, very rarely.
Yeah, we bought our DVD shelves there.
Then no place else had one. DVD shelves are like the hardest thing to get.
Yeah. Furniture stores either have really, really expensive ones that are not exactly what you need, or they're so cheap they just fall apart, or they're ugly.
Yeah, or people have fancy ones that don't hold. I need to hold a great quantity in a small amount of space. No one has real efficient ones.
Well, someone did. Best Buy.
Well, it wasn't really that good. It was just the most efficient we could find.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So, Bell South.
Oh, yeah, my grandma has Bell South DSL, and, you know, she doesn't know how to use it, but other than that, they suck.
Take heart in what I'm about to say, because according to what I've read since then, pretty much the entire rest of the industry thinks this is batshit and is ignoring this guy as much as we're going to ignore this guy.
Well, so they suck, and now they said something that makes them suck worse.
Basically, they think that the way the internet should work is that, say I'm an ISP. I should be able to offer to Yahoo the ability to pay money to me, and in return, I'll make Yahoo load faster than, say, Google.
How's it going to work?
Oh, with some magic restructuring of basic internet architecture on a global scale. You know, enforcing QoS. And, I mean, QoS is kind of a good idea, except for the fact that the moment you make a bit that says this packet is more important than any other packet, everyone who's smart is going to have all their packets have that bit, and then every packet in the world will have that bit, and then it doesn't work anymore.
Nope, doesn't work.
And this guy goes on, and he makes silly analogies. He's just like the guy who said that, the Utah guy, who said that there should be a porn port. This is someone who is in a high position involving technology, but who does not understand the technology he is actually responsible for, and is trying to use it as though it's a different medium.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a big problem is someone's a businessman and they think, you know, they're trying to think of business things. So they just imagine stuff up and they know nothing about technology whatsoever. So they'll think up any old business thing and they'll say, oh, wouldn't it be great? You know, look, these people are making money and they're using the hardware that I own, my wires, to make their money. I should be able to make money by charging them money because I'm not making enough money with these flat fees from customers.
He probably makes the most incorrect analogy ever regarding this.
So he thinks some stuff up and then he invents, you know, some dream of how the technology works, but because he knows nothing, he's just wrong.
If I go to the airport, I can buy a coach standby ticket or a first class ticket. In the shipping business, I can get 2-day air or 6-day ground. I don't think he realizes that I can go to an ISP and buy a very tiny pipe or an OC-48.
Yeah, see, that's the correct analogy to that, you know. But
the funny thing is, the Bell South is lobbying on behalf of this, but because they don't understand it, they're actually lobbying against themselves. They're lobbying in Congress right now in the House. There's a bill in the House that'll prohibit network operators from impeding internet content or impeding internet traffic based on content. So if I run an ISP and this bill is passed, I won't be able to say, slow down sites I disagree with, or block them just because I disagree with them.
So it's a good law. We want it
to pass.
Yes,
it's a good law.
All right.
He is supporting the law because he says that, and this is fantastic, what I envision doesn't impede anyone. It just speeds other people up.
You realize by speeding one person up, you're slowing another one down. Period.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
it can't
yeah.
go. Right now, everything goes as fast as it can possibly go. The only way to make one person go faster is to slow other people. You can't understand technology. There should be a thing where, like, if you want to, like, say something, if you want to legislate something, you have to prove that you know about it. Like, there should be a law that says.
Here's the problem.
Any law that is.
Any
legislation that proposes something which is not scientifically or technologically feasible is automatically void, period. It would be so simple.
You know what? They're effectively void anyway, because even if the laws get passed, there's no way to implement them, and the only people who lose are the taxpayers who pay for it.
I know, but think about this. Someone could make a law, right, that says everyone must go into outer space. Well, that's not technologically feasible for everyone to go into outer space. I'm just thinking of something random and crazy.
Okay.
But, you know, of course, no one's going to make this law, but someone could. You know, we should have it in writing that if someone makes a law that's not technologically feasible, that the law is void, the whole thing just doesn't count. Even if every congressperson voted for it, even if the president signed, it doesn't matter. If it's technologically infeasible, it doesn't count.
The thing is, there are a lot of crazies who would say things are technologically feasible when they aren't.
And we would say, okay,
no one listens to us.
Yeah, someone would say, the law that I'm proposing would say, if something is in dispute, whether it is technologically feasible or not, someone must merely demonstrate the technological feasibility.
Huh?
If you can demonstrate it, then you can have your law. If you cannot demonstrate it, the law is void. You have to include in the law...
a technical rundown of how to implement it.
Huh? Even better.
Actually, I think in many cases, any law that requires someone to do something should either provide a means or provide a method to do it.
Yeah.
Because like
when you
Florida,
just say, do this, people do it, and they do it some way that ends up making it bad and not the
original
intent.
There's a law in Florida right now that if it passes will require Spanish to be taught in all schools. All public schools.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It doesn't provide any money to provide these classes. So these schools are probably going to cut, you know, art class or something to pay for it.
Great.
Yeah. The federal government does that a lot, though, too. I mean, a lot of times they'll pass a law that says you must do X, and then they don't provide any money to do it, and people do it shittily, and then the government complains that people are doing it shittily.
That's really a thing we need a constitutional amendment for, is any law, you know, that proposes action must provide the means and instructions on how to execute that action. You know,
the problem is the people who understand what we're saying are not the people in power.
That is true.
Yeah.
They will be.
And the idea of a constitutional convention scares the living hell out of me.
Constitutional convention bad. Constitutional convention, Scott equals airplane.
Yes. Yes.
Big airplane. Fast. Go.
Because sure, I'm sure one or two good things would happen, but I imagine a lot of things would become very illegal very quickly.
Yeah. Unless we can go to the Constitutional Convention and make mischief. Maybe we could win out.
Huh.
See, the problem is, a Constitutional Convention isn't necessarily bad. It's necessarily crazy and out of control and fickle.
Yep. Of course, we've never had one, so we don't really know what would happen.
Yeah.
We don't even really know how to do it.
Well, there would be these questions, constitutional questions, like does the Congress decide when and where and who's allowed to be there and what can they do there? You know, because technically, it doesn't say you make a constitutional convention to write a new constitution. It says you can have a constitutional convention is one of the ways to pass an amendment, right? But it doesn't say what's allowed there. So the question is, can Congress limit what's allowed to be done at the constitutional convention? Like, can Congress say, this constitutional convention is only for the discussion of this amendment, which pertains to this only?
Or furthermore, the Supreme Court could interpret how the Constitutional Convention is carried out.
That's what would happen is the Supreme Court would have to decide if Congress can limit what is talked about at the Constitutional Convention. And if they could limit what is talked about, then it wouldn't be so exciting because it would just be one amendment that gets made there. But if they couldn't, if they could not, if Congress does not have the power to specify what is done there, then even though they might go to originally talk about one amendment that a bunch of states decided to have a convention over, they could just start talking about random stuff and do whatever they wanted, and no one could vote them out or stop them or do it. It would basically be a room full of people who would be like a, as a whole, a council that rewrites the Constitution any way they please.
At least the one thing is, it's still one vote per state.
Yeah, so we'd have like 50 or 100 voting people.
There's mostly red states, even though there aren't so many people in them.
All right. So we're going to use the Initial D music, right?
Yeah. So there's that video game cheater guy.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, this is great. There's this guy who had a video game cheating site, and he claims that it's his primary source of income. Apparently has ads on it or something.
Okay.
And he's suing someone who he claims stole the cheats from his site and put them on his own site.
The cheats are public knowledge, mostly.
Even if they're not, I point out that...
How is he going to prove...
That's the same as... Say someone put on their website an equation, 1 plus 5 equals 6. And then I put that same equation on my website because I derived it independently. And then he sues me saying I stole it from him.
If he can, he might be able to prove that someone did... Like, if he has a log of someone, like, snarfing his website and taking all his pages and uploading them to their website and proving that it's the same thing, you know, that's something, right? But if he's talking about, you know, he went to a site that happened to have cheats for the same game, go to GameFAQs, man. You're going to sue GameFAQs?
But even if someone stole the website,
GameFAQs.
Even if someone stole the website verbatim, if the website is generic enough, it still really doesn't matter.
Well, it depends if he Creative Commonsed his website or if he didn't. Because if he didn't, it's technically a copyright infringement.
But if the website is just a collection of facts, and all that is, and the presentation of the website has changed to where it's not identical,
yep.
Then it's just a collection of
facts.
They
would have to change the presentation significantly enough to where it's not infringing.
However, what if the first website is just black text on a white background?
And
just a list of cheats.
Then the guy doesn't have a leg to stand on.
I don't think he has a leg to stand on anyway.
No, he definitely doesn't.
I think the saddest thing was the reporters talking about this case who don't know anything about it at all.
Yeah, just like the guy who doesn't know anything about internet architecture from Bell South.
Yeah, reporters are starting to tick me off lately. I mean, when I was a little kid, I remember I'd read the newspaper and I'd always think like, wow, or ooh, I didn't know that. But now I read the newspaper and I think... I know that's untrue because I know about it, or that's an outright lie because that's not what that guy said. I know. But then I started realizing that I think every article is that way, and anyone who's an expert in any field immediately sees that.
Yeah, the problem is they don't have a reporter who's an expert in everything.
Nope.
They have, you know, reporters who are just guys who report. They don't know about any of the things they're reporting on, which is why they do research and things. But
see, a long time ago, they used to have fact checkers, and you couldn't say anything in a newspaper unless you had a fact checker.
Still do fact checking.
No, they don't.
But they do it quickly, and they don't do it thoroughly.
Oh,
and
so
the fact checkers, also don't know. If I wrote a highly technical article, and I'm a highly technical guy, and I put it in a newspaper... Who can fact check that other than someone who's also very technical? They need to go get college professors to check it.
Yes, the newspaper's fact finder's job should be to find the fact. And if they don't know it, they should find it somewhere.
But then you won't get your story in today's paper. And then it'll be a day late, even though it's already 16 hours late because it happened, you know, a long time ago. And it's newspapers have everything late.
So maybe newspapers need to not go for the breaking news and go for the in-depth local news instead.
Well, that's for the local newspapers, yeah. But
even for the national news, instead of having an article that says, holy shit, something happened in Congress, have an article 2 days later that says, here's exactly what happened in Congress 2 days ago.
Yeah, but then, you know, what about the people who are dumb? They only read a newspaper, the old people, they don't get the news fast enough, they don't know what's going on.
People are dumb. That seems to break every good business model.
Yeah, but the way, because you know why? Because the way you make money is by taking advantage of dumb people.
Yeah,
and you don't have to do much to get money from them. If everyone was smart, then all the smart business models would work and the dumb business models wouldn't. But because people are dumb, the dumb business models work, and it sucks for the smart people.
But at least in the newspaper case, it doesn't matter because the average age of newspaper readers a year ago was 55, and this year it's 56.
Only old geezers read newspapers.
Yeah, and not like funny in Soviet whatever, only old people use email, but actually only old people read newspapers, with rare exception.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if the average age is 55.
See, that means...
For every 30-year-old out there who reads the one, how many 70-year-olds are there?
An equal number?
No, not an equal number.
Well, you know, a close enough number.
But not an equal number, Mr. Math.
It's good music.
It is.
We've kind of given up on the, you know, 100% no-stealing music thing.
Well, DJ Pretzel never technically answered. I sent him 2 emails, and he never answered, so I credited him, and I just used his music.
Yeah. Mike and I Supremacy said we could use the music, but we haven't used it yet, because we just didn't.
Yeah, so if you ever just hear Mike and I Supremacy music for, you know, 40 minutes on our podcast, it means we really didn't have anything to say.
Yep, but you should go to their website and check out their music because they're awesome, and they didn't pay me to say that. They're just really that awesome.
Yeah.
All right, so the things of the day. What's your thing of the day?
Oh, I expected you to go first.
Well, fine.
All right.
So my
thing of the day. So in a Final Fantasy, there was the potion item, probably the most ubiquitous item in the game.
Yeah,
in
you
Final
know.
Final Fantasy 1, you could hold 99 of them, and they gave you 50 health.
Gee, those are pretty useful.
Well, in the fact that Final Fantasy XII is coming out...
What kind of game is it going to be? A one-player? What's it going to be?
It's definitely not an online MMO.
That's good.
And a lot of people have mixed feelings about it. But the real matter here is that it's costing a lot of money to make. Like, insane amounts of money.
That's about right.
I've seen many articles to the fact that this is going to be possibly one of the most expensive to produce games ever.
Sounds right.
And they're having a little bit of trouble coming up with all this money.
Yep.
So they are marketing the hell out of Final Fantasy. And part of this marketing is they have now released Potion, the drink.
Does it actually heal you?
I imagine it's some sort of high fructose corn syrup carbonated concoction. I'll wager it's some sort of energy drink. The site's in Japanese, and there aren't any many details out yet, other than that the bottles look really, really cool, and I'll probably buy some just for that.
Just for the bottle might be worth it if it's not too expensive. You know, I mean, hell, I'd buy a cool bottle.
Well, considering that a Red Bull is $2.50 out of a vending machine at work.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. And a lot
of people
buy it.
I don't drink any of those things because I think they're poison, so I don't...
I love Red Bull, but it is kind of expensive.
So I don't really know how much those things cost. Those are small little cans, though. $2.50?
Yeah.
Wow, no wonder those freaking people are making a killing. That's how they afforded to buy that F1 team. it contains some weird herbs in it, the potion. It says here it contains hyssop. H-Y-S-S-O-P.
Uh-huh. Are you sure that wasn't hyssop B. telest?
I'm sure, but apparently, I guess it's also got some sort of randy herbal thing that doesn't really heal you, but I guess they kind of put it in there to make it more potion-ish of healing.
Well, you know what? Push B select.
Yep. All right, so my thing of the day. Well, do you remember in the SNES, there was the Super FX chip?
I remember even seeing ads where they talked about the Super FX chip.
Yep. Well, the Super FX chip was a chip they put in a few games, starting with Star Fox and then Stunt Race FX and Doom and a few other games, that allowed the Super Nintendo to do, you know, very primitive vector polygon kind of graphics.
Very primitive.
The Genesis also had a similar thing they used for Virtua Racing and what, you know, those early 3D games, the stuff that came out before Virtua Fighter 1.
Yeah, definitely a step up from, like, Mode 7.
Definitely a step up from Mode 7. But anyway, if you ever played these games, even in an emulator, Star Fox and whatever is kind of jaggy in the frame rate sometimes, even on an SNES. So some guy who knew about electronics took a Star Fox and he opened it up, and he replaced a resonator with a 24 megahertz quartz crystal. And some capacitors and whatever. And he basically overclocked his FX chip and got rid of the frame rate lag.
That's kind of badass.
And there was a post where he says, I think I'm, here's the, he shows pictures of all the stuff that's in the cartridge. And then he says, this is what I plan to do. Let's see if it works. At worst, it just won't boot. Because he's a smart electronics guy. He did it, and he said, oh my God, it worked! He gets 3 to 4 more FPS, which is about all you need to get it, you know, to work better, because, you know, it runs at about 25 FPS, and your TV's about 30-something. So 3 to 4 just brings you right up to what you need it to be.
Damn. Too bad we couldn't do something similar with Dodgeball.
Yeah, he's thinking about getting a better crystal to put in there, like a 26 megahertz. That way you can get the, like, you know, 5 or 6, maybe 7 frames, and he'll just be like a few frames over what a TV can do, so it'll always be perfect.
That's pretty cool, I gotta say.
Yeah. This is why I kind of want to know electronic stuff, even though it's hard.
So, this is the last main bit that won't have music before the main bit starts.
Yep, and we decided that today we're going to have a metacast.
Meta!
Which means, if you are not knowing what meta means, the podcast today is going to be about this podcast.
It's kind of like when you're on Slashdot and someone posts about Slashdot.
That's about it, yeah. Meta.
Yeah.
Information about the thing that it is within itself.
So we just want to say, right at all. To start, we'll just get this right away. Visit our website, please, at least once.
Yeah, we know there are people out there who are listening.
Yeah, we have statistics. We know exactly how many of you there are.
Who are not our... A lot of you are our friends who already know us, but we know a lot of people are listening who are complete strangers to us, and we want to make like a fun, happy community where we all can get together and geek out and such. So go to our website. We have a nice forum. You can join.
So far, only one of you was cool enough to try to post something.
Yep, that guy's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Also, I don't like, you know, these things where you vote to get people boosted up and promoted and whatever, but, you know, we kind of want people to listen. I mean, it takes a lot of time to do this, even if it isn't particularly difficult. And the more people listen, the more worthwhile it would be. So... Go to, like, Podcast Alley and those other places and, like, vote us up and put our links around and tell your friends and all that kind of good stuff.
Though our links are around enough already, because I've noticed that if you search for Geek Nights on Google, we're number one, far above geeknights.com.
Well, that's because geeknights.com is some poop site. And I went around to, like, a bunch of pod aggregators and put us up there.
Yep, as did I. I went to several to put us on there, and you had already put us on there.
Now, see, the trick is we want people to find us if they search for Geek Podcast or Nighttime Podcast or Video Game Geek Podcast, even though there's a bunch of video game-specific podcasts that'll beat us out, you know. But
yeah.
You get the idea. All right. The second thing we want to talk about is our content, particularly Monday
and
Thursday.
We're getting better. We're forcing ourselves to actually have something good to talk about instead of just flubbing those 2 days.
Yeah. I mean, originally I was kind of hoping that, you know, the geekeries are pretty much split into 3 general categories. There's board gaming, role-playing, wargaming type stuff.
Yep.
Then there's anime, manga, comics, art type stuff. And then there's video games, because video games are just that awesome that they, you know, yeah. And then there's technologies and computers and all those sorts of things is the 4th geekery. But, you know, we can't really talk about...
What we did involving sci and tech, we got complaints. Either we talk about specific, like, computer things and have our listeners go, what the hell?
Yeah,
we don't care about window managers. Or we talk about science, and that's boring to most of our listeners because we're not the most informative types. We're just interested in it.
Yeah. And then, you know, we can't really talk too much about board role-playing war games because we play board games, but we tend to play the same ones over and over.
Yeah, if you wanted, we could talk about Tigris and Euphrates every week and never run out of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, we just keep playing it and talk about, you know, game session reports and new strategies and things until we eventually solve the game. But, you know, I mean, we get new games occasionally, but, you know, we decide to lump those in on the video game day because video games don't come out every week, you know, so we just made it game day. And I think it works out pretty good.
Yep, and the same thing went with anime and manga and all that, because I've noticed whenever we don't have a new anime to talk about, We always have a new manga or a new comic, or if anything, there's a bunch of anime news.
Yeah, and I'm going to the comic book store every week now, so that should, you know, even though I'm starting to, because of this and other things, I'm not actually reading all the comics as soon as I get them like I used to.
Yeah, like we got Netflix not too long ago, and we had anime streaming in. Pretty much, we would watch a DVD and mail it back that day and then get another one the next day, and we had a movie every single day.
No more.
Now we're lucky to watch one a week.
Yay, podcasting. You know, but I did get a video game, and that's, you know, going to eat up a bunch of my time and slow down comic reading and stuff. Paring our geek content down to only 2 days, you know, we were able to, you know, always have fresh content guaranteed for those 2 days, but we decided we want to do a four-day-a-week podcast, and those other 2 days were kind of eh. And, you know, we have a few bits. We have, like, the Geek Fables bit. We have the, we had another bit.
We had the How Not to Suck.
How Not to Suck bit.
We had just stories.
Stories bit. But the stories originated as an end of the podcast. We're still experimenting with our general format. You know, even though it's pretty locked down into, you know, something that happened today, you know, news items or interesting things on the internet, and then the thing of the day, and then the main topic of depending what day of the week it is, and then we're done. It's pretty solid. I think it works. If you don't think it works, tell us.
Yep.
You know, pretty much tell us anything that you think about the podcast. Negative, positive, we don't care.
Because, I mean, we've had ideas. Like, worst case, we might just only do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then only do a Thursday when we have a reason to do a Thursday.
Like an interview or something.
Yeah. Though, once again, I got a bunch of cool people lined up to interview. It's just a matter of us getting around to doing it. Yeah. So probably after the holiday season.
Yeah, there's also the question of, you know, what if we really had nothing? Because for a few weeks, we were really starving for what do we do Thursday or what do we do Monday. Now I think we have a little better handle on it this week, maybe because of the Thanksgiving buffer we had.
Yeah.
You know? But, you know, would you rather have us still go over up to Thing of the Day and then just stop the podcast if we don't have anything? Or would you rather have us keep going and talk about something that may be kind of crappy and boring?
Or more important, we could probably always, as long as we're in good form, come up with something.
Yes.
I mean, in the very least, we have funny story. We have probably enough funny stories to fill this podcast out for a year.
Probably.
The problem is, days like today, when we have plenty to talk about, we're just real tired.
Yeah, tiredness, I guess that's part of the nighttime podcast. I mean, Letterman records his shows at like the middle of the morning, like 10 a.m. or something like that. There's a reason he doesn't actually do it at 11 p.m. or and whenever he's on TV.
We had a plan where we were going to record all the non-time-dependent stuff whenever we could. Like, if one weekend we were feeling particularly good, we'd do as many bits as we could and just queue them all up.
We haven't done any of that.
We did that once, and then we immediately used them, like, 2 days later when Scott went out of town.
Yeah, maybe we can. And now we keep going out of town every weekend, so it's like,
yeah, we're going out of town this weekend to play some board games, which is good because now we'll have stuff to talk about on board game day.
Yeah, maybe the week after that we won't do anything and I can actually do some computer work and we can get some podcast work in. And
yeah, if we get one free weekend, we'll polish up this podcast as far as it's going to get polished.
Yep.
We need one more weekend of work and this thing will be gold. At least as gold as we're going to be.
Okay, so if you have, we really want user input on what our content is, our format, things we should talk about. So we don't care, we just want to hear things, because right now we're not hearing anything.
Even a post that says, you suck, and I hate you, and I had sex with your mom.
Yep.
Because I'm sure I'd like to know.
You can do that on the forum. You can also email us, geeknights@gmail.com.
Yeah.
So,
though, I'll point out that to all you iTunes listeners out there, and there's quite a few of you who probably have never seen the website, there's stuff on the website, often in the comments. Well, one, on the website, we link to everything we talk about.
Yep.
So if we talk about something and you're curious about it, we have a link there for you.
Mm-hmm.
And two, there's comments by us and sometimes by other people on the actual items in the feed for the podcast. And that's where we'll explain things like, oh, we screwed this podcast up, that's why it's so short. Or Rim fell asleep during it and Scott had to wake him up. Or, you know, things like that. Anything that happened that might be relevant.
Yeah, you want to read those things because I think it, you know, it enhances your experience. I mean, I listen to a lot of podcasts. Rim doesn't listen to any, but
I will soon, because if I actually get the job information that I've been waiting for, I'm buying an iPod
or
two,
but
and a computer.
When I listen to a podcast, if they have supporting information and cool stuff and a community on their website, you know, it really makes it good for me. I really like that sort of thing, and I think a lot of other people do also. And we're trying to make that. So if you know if that's what you want, we've got it. Use it. All right. Next thing we'll talk about is some of the technical issues with our podcast.
Yeah, mainly Darth Scott and the fact that he breathes into the microphone.
I am your father.
An ambassador. I'm sorry. We have a shtick that we don't know why it won't end, but randomly we just say...
We are not comic book guy, but somehow we still know every line from Star Wars.
If this is a diplomatic mission...
Where is the ambassador?
I always love that scene because he chokes the guy to death anyway.
Yep. Darth Vader's just freaking cool in any episode with a number greater than three. All right. So, technical issues we have with the podcast. I'm not a professional radio guy, and I talk into the microphone kind of eh.
Yeah, well, I don't want to sound mean, because I had problems with my audio at first, too, but I fixed all mine. I got a pop filter here, and I got a microphone stand and everything.
Yeah.
Scott lays on my futon with a microphone in his hand, like, squirming around, pulling on the cable, talking into it funny, rolling it around, bumping into his face, breathing on it.
I think we'll buy a stand with a boomstick, and it'll be all cool, like.
Yeah.
Maybe. And then I can still lay down. I don't want to not lay down.
Ah, but we're ruining the mystique. I mean, people could have pictured us sitting at a desk like on the Letterman show.
It doesn't matter because, you know what? If people ever see us, we will be sitting at a desk wearing nice blue suits, white shirts, and red ties.
Yeah.
And as long as they don't see us, they'll just imagine that we're in this palace, which we do live in a palace.
Yeah, honestly, we kind of do.
Yeah. And, you know, it's got turrets and a portcullis.
I like portcullis.
We have a portcullis, yeah.
We have a moat with a dragon in it, and inside the dragon is a laser.
Yeah. Generally, and the other thing is we all run Linux here, so we don't have a large selection of audio software, so that causes a few problems for us.
Yeah, we have Audacity, which is great at multi-track, but sucks at a lot of other things. We have Resound. That's the closest thing to cool edit I've ever been able to find for Linux, but it has some idiosyncrasies.
There are other things like Ardour, which we can get to work, but they're complicated and they're very powerful, but we have to learn them, so maybe we can get some success using those things. We got to work it out.
Or honestly, if anyone out there happens to have a copy of Cool Edit Pro or Cool Edit 2000 for Windows, that was my favorite audio suite ever, and I used that in all my digital audio classes, and I made awesome stuff in it, and I had pirated it.
Yep.
And then I lost
it. I saw the guy in the train using it the other day.
You should have asked him for it.
What are you gonna do? All right, so now, for those of you who are unfamiliar, we're going to talk about, for the first time, where this podcast came from.
Yeah, because we come up with ideas like this on an hourly basis.
Minute basis.
We've had...
I just came up with one.
Thousands upon thousands of crazy, but usually pretty viable ideas that... we never acted upon.
Mostly because we didn't have the resources to execute them, the balls to execute them, even though we have a lot of freaking balls.
Yeah.
But usually what happens is something either has, you know, a little bit of balls that we have, but too much resources which we don't, or way too much balls and no resources, so we, you know, it's more balls than anyone has.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but anyway, we finally found something we could do, so we did it.
Yep. In fact, I remember we were talking about it. We should do it about 3 weeks before we actually started doing it. We said, we should do it. We should try to ride this rising tide like the early webcomics did and entrench ourselves.
Well, it's more like...
and then we didn't.
It's more like surfing where it starts to break and then you're surfing.
You know?
But, you know, it really started way back in college with the pillow talk action.
Yeah, we had this idea for a show because in college, we shared a bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't share a bed, but we shared a bedroom.
Yep.
And it was sad because I never got any sleep because we lay in bed and it'd be like 3 a.m. after we did all our geekery. And we'd lay in there and we'd just talk about, we'd pretty much do what we're doing now, only without an audience.
It was a great game called Keep Talking Until the Other Guy
that
Can't
game was
Possibly
great.
Ignore
I'd be
you.
Trying to sleep because I had a, you know, work the next morning or a class at 8 a.m. And Scott would say things to me. And I'd try to just ignore him, pretend I was asleep, but he knew I was awake, and he'd say more and more exasperating things until finally I'd turn around and yell at him, and then we'd argue for 4 more hours.
Yep, it's an awesome game.
Yeah.
And so we figured, hey, people love to listen to this shit, you know?
Which we have evidence of that, because every now and then we had someone just, like, stay in our apartment overnight, and they wouldn't go sleep on the couch. They'd sit in the bedroom and listen to us.
They would laugh hysterically, and then none of us could get sleep, and it was kind of, you know... So we always thought we should record it, but we never did because it's kind of hard to record people laying in bed.
Yeah, plus we didn't have microphones. We didn't have money.
Yeah, so now we got this going on. I think it's pretty good. Other people seem to think it's good. I mean, they're still listening. I see the numbers. All right, now, where is the podcast going?
We'd like to, one, have the energy we've had. I mean, some of our podcasts are really good, and some of them are kind of eh because we're tired. We want to get to a point where we do it so efficiently that we still get enough sleep, and we always have that funny, bantery energy.
Yep, that's a good thing. A lot of people out there who are podcasting have this kind of idea, mostly from certain podcast companies, that they can, you know, eventually they're going to quit their day jobs and be like professional podcasters for a living.
You know what? Screw that. We don't want to make money off of this.
Yeah, I don't really care for that. I just want to, like, make a cool show and have a little community and, you know, be cool.
Yeah, like, if we were after money, there are a million things we could do to make money, and we're still working on some of those schemes.
Yeah, but I mean, as far as what I want to get out of the podcast is, you know, I want to meet people. I want to, you know, go to a convention and, you know, do a cool podcast, and I want to use it as a means to do cool things that, you know, money can't buy.
I mean, how cool would it be if we went to, like, Otakon, and we ran into some people who were like, hey, you're the Geek Nights guys, we know you, and then we hung out with those people for the weekend.
Yep, or if we were like, you know, the official podcast of something somewhere.
Which we're working on. I got some really small venues that are all about us being like a podcast live there.
Yep. And we could just keep moving on up. Eventually we'd be like, you know, the official podcast of something really big.
Or something really cool.
Or maybe like PAX or something. Who knows?
We're going to PAX next year. Damn it.
No one's going to stop me. That's for sure. You know, and as far as the future of our content, I figure, you know, we just want to keep doing what we're doing. And
yeah, we'll keep making incremental changes, but we'll change real quick if our listeners really want something or really don't like something or really like something.
Yeah, like if all of a sudden every one of our listeners decided that, you know, our anime talk is like the best anime talk of any podcast there is and we should make an anime-only podcast, I guess, you know, we might be persuaded to do that. No, I don't think that's going to happen.
Nah.
But, you know, that's, you know, we will go wherever, you know, to a point where we have a lot of listeners who are happy and we're happy.
Yep. Because, and it's easy to make us happy because I like the sound of my own voice. And
yeah. I mean, it's because we're not trying to make money, so we're not just going to do whatever we can, you know, whatever it takes to make money.
Well, we just do a podcast about mesothelioma.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that someday.
Yeah. So we're not going to do whatever it takes to make money. We're going to do whatever we enjoy while simultaneously pleasing
people. We've got
two
sliders, our enjoyment and your enjoyment, and we're going to get them both as high as we can.
Yep. Without sacrificing one or the other.
Because there's a lot of reasons we don't want to make money. One, I bristle at the idea of advertising in general.
Yep.
Like, advertising really... Well, it doesn't bother me because I don't see it, but whenever advertising penetrates my little rim bubble of I don't see advertising, it bothers me a lot.
Yep.
And I hate ads. I block ads to the point of, like, there's ad block, and a lot of people use ad block, and it blocks ads in Firefox. I use such a blunt slash and burn filter of blocking ads that you wouldn't believe it.
I just use the automatic filter that other people set up, but Rim, if he sees like a website that has one ad, he'll block every image that ever comes from that domain.
Yeah.
.com, .net, or .org. Just the whole, any domain that contains that part of the URL in it. Just every image block, never seen again.
I'm real pro-capitalism, but capitalism involves my right to not listen to you.
Yep. Capitalism's cool.
Misunderstand. Adam Smith capitalism is cool. The problem is, America isn't really capitalist anymore. It's kind of...
something
weird.
Bad.
Yeah.
Evilist.
Not socialist, because I like socialism too, but...
Yeah, it's broken. But anyway,
we'll get into that. You know, next Thursday, if we don't have anything else, we'll talk about economics.
Economics is good. Maybe I'll get a copy of the old... Wealth of Nations. Read it. Read some key passages.
Pull out the Communist Manifesto, just because I like quoting it. It's funny.
A lot of it's funny. Anyway. The best way for all this to keep going where we want it to go is if you email us and go to the forum.
Yeah, post in the forum. Because one, if you like listening to us at all, you'd probably really like hanging out with us, and you'd probably really like our friends because they're all a lot like us.
Yeah, unless you are socially inept, in which case we don't want to hang out with you. But
keep in mind, our definition of socially inept is probably far below what you'd think.
Yeah, I mean, I hung out with some, like, 30-year-old, 40, 50-year-old board gaming guys over the weekend, and that was okay. So it's tough to be.
Let me put it this way. There are less than 5 people we've known that we actually don't like.
Yeah.
Like, the number is so small that I think we could spend a Thursday on each one of them telling you all about them because it's funny. They're all really funny stories.
Well, it's really funny when someone is such a loser or such a terrible person.
Yeah, if someone's shy, that doesn't bother us. We're talking about people who are socially inept in the abrasive, talking about horrible pornography all the time because they somehow think that you want to hear about that.
Types. God.
God, that guy.
All right. Fuck.
What, you gotta have the fuck? We think of a lot of silly ideas. One day we thought we were going to put a number at the end of every post for a podcast, and we wouldn't say what that number is, and it would just be the number of times we swore during the podcast.
It's like the math teacher who put a tally on the board every time 69 was the answer to a math problem.
Or the game we played with our calc teacher in high school, because he said, uh-huh, mm-hmm, okay, constantly. And if no one answered him, he'd just keep doing it. It was kind of scary.
All right, I think we're getting off track.
Yeah, we're getting off track.
Way
that's
off
fine.
Track.
That's fine.
But, you know, this is the kind of stuff that we do here, and that's what you can expect more of.
Yeah, and if you don't like it, yell at us.
Or don't listen to us.
Yeah.
If, you know, we don't change to what you like, because no one's making you listen.
Yeah. Woo!
Woohoo!
Woo!
Geek Nights.
Yeah. So now we're just going to trail off.
Dun-dun-dun.
Keep saying a few words, and then at some point I'll paste the music in after the fact.
All right.
Though I just had a couple of good ideas, actually, for what to do on Thursdays.
Yeah?
Whole bunch of ideas. We could have Opinion Thursdays, where we pick a topic, we state our opinion on it, and then we defend that opinion.
Yeah, but it has to be
an opinion where
we don't have the same opinion.
Yeah, or even if we have the same opinion, we broadcast our opinion to the world. Like if we did one on economics. Things we're really opinionated on.
Mm.
Or things we disagree on. If we disagree, we'll argue, and our arguments often end funnily. If we agree strongly, we'll talk about it forever because we just keep, it's like a feedback loop.
Yeah, as long as, you know, you don't just dip down to the same baseline philosophical argument every single time.
Yeah,
no matter
what
the topic is. Pornography? Oh, no, we got to talk about this philosophical argument.
Well, we have
We're
to.
We're talking
because,
about
because,
Nazis.
You know, you can't prove anything.
Philosophical argument.
And the only thing I've ever experienced in this world is my own consciousness.
Yeah, okay, whatever. Talking about computers, the same philosophical argument every time. You know,
we have this problem when we argue. Sometimes we argue to come to a truth. Like, we're arguing about what the best blah is, and then we come to an answer and we both agree. But a lot of times, we start arguing, and we're not arguing to convince the other person. We're not arguing to find the answer to something. We're just arguing for the sake of arguing to beat each other. And then we both pull some stupid, dirty argumentation tricks. Ad hominem attacks left and right.
Ad hominem.
We really like... when someone makes a logical fallacy, we like naming it in Latin and then yelling at each other. Then arguing over what it actually means and whether or not it was actually committed.
Yeah, you post ergo act proctor ergo hector illimis hoc Latin you.
Clatu barada nicto?
Yeah, one of those.
Yeah.
Cogito
so,
ergo sum?
Yeah, that was a bunch of minutes of, yeah, we're done.
I think I'm going to go in my room and do some stuff and then go to bed.
I'm going to play some Mario Kart and get some sleep. And, yeah, we're going to Albany tomorrow.
Woot.
So
gonna play some Verreter.
And some Moiterer.
Moiterer. And see which one's better.
Oh, and some Tigris and Euphrates.
Duh.
Yeah.
Duh.
All right. So it's, yeah.
Leroy Jenkins.
Leroy.
You can cut a whole bunch of the end off.
Just, I think I should just leave it on. Cause
it's a little long, isn't it?
No, this podcast is not our longest podcast. We only talked 23 minutes just now.
All right, how long do we talk for the beginning news parties?
About 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
All right, fucking fine.
Yeah.
I wonder if... All right, well, then keep this on. Hold on.
See, because one thing I've noticed is on a podcast, that you can't ramble early on because then people lose interest. But you can ramble at the end because if someone stops listening now, it doesn't matter Because you're not missing anything important. You're just missing us going, woo-ah.
Yeah, but I wonder if they'll listen again. I mean, the real listeners listen to the whole thing intently. You know, that's the goal, is you don't... I don't want to be like a super professional radio guy and do everything the radio way, because that's against the point of podcasting.
We don't want to be so amateur it hurts.
Yeah, I don't want to be so amateur that it hurts the listeners, and I do want to, like, do things that aren't obviously professional, you know, where it doesn't feel professional, but, it, you know, you do things to keep people, like, going good. Like, you can give a speech in such a way where you have a conversational tone, but you still apply the right speech techniques so that people pay attention and are more inclined to agree with what you're saying because you say them in, you know, the right way.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I kind of want to do, is I want to do the podcast in a way where people are interested, paying attention, caring, going to listen again, but I don't want it to feel professional, sound professional. I want it to sound, you know,
quality. We want it to sound like a conversation. We want it to feel like you're just sitting here with us.
Yeah.
Which actually one of our friends said something to that effect, because we had one show a while ago where we argued about something, and a friend of ours, you know who you are, actually told me that a couple of times he actually started to argue with us a little bit and then stopped himself when he realized that we couldn't hear him.
That is excellent.
Yeah. See, our biggest problem is whenever we're tired, we tend to talk at you. And whenever we're not tired, we have more of a conversation with each other that's informative or entertaining to you. The moral is, we got to not be tired.
Yeah. It also depends, you know, that's another thing we want feedback on, is should we talk to the listener like I am right now? Hello, listener. Hello.
Or should we talk like, hey, Scott, guess what?
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I guess people who don't know us don't realize that I'm Scott.
And I'm Rim.
Yeah, maybe we should do that.
Yeah,
I guess
we could do that.
Maybe. Yeah, I didn't even realize that until just now. See, that's the kind of thing we screw up on. See,
yeah, because we don't. They didn't think of that until just now, live on the air.
Fair. Oh yeah.
Yeah. All right, we're actually gonna stop now. So cue the closing music.